what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Thank you for joining us today. Give and you shall receive. Some may say, sure, in charity perhaps, I know I give and I hope to receive, but if I don't, that's still okay because it feels good doing the right thing. Give and you shall receive, not in business, others say. It's a tough world out there, dog eat dog, every man for himself, first I get, then I give, and all of that. Go-givers sell more and do better, because giving is the cornerstone of a powerful and effective approach to selling, achieving, and receiving, says my guest Bob Berg. Bob is a sought-after speaker and prolific author. For years, he was best known for his book, Endless Referrals. More recently, though, it's his business parable, The Go-Giver, co-authored by John David Mann, that has captured the heart and imagination of his readers. It went to sixth place on the Wall Street Journal's bestsellers list just 3 weeks after it was released and reached number 9 on Business Week. Bob is an advocate, a supporter and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. And it is my pleasure to have him as my guest today. Bob, welcome.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. For the benefit of our listeners, please define for us who or what the go-giver is.
Well, a go-giver is simply someone who has learned or perhaps intuitively knew that it's that person who can shift their focus from getting to giving. And now when we say this and we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. And that making this shift in focus is not only a nice way to live life, but it's a very financially profitable way as well. And it really ties into what you just said, because we can erroneously think, well, yeah, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And by the way, it can be. That I'm not arguing with that. And, we might think, well, I'll get and then I'll give. But you know what? In a truly free market-based economy, that doesn't work. In an actual free market-based economy, the only reason someone is going to buy from you, do business with you, refer you to others, is because they feel that they are receiving value from the transaction and from the relationship. So the only way you can, if you want to just go to make a sale, is by focusing on providing value to that other person. So there's nothing pie in the sky or particularly esoteric about this. It's actually real world. It's how it works. And that's why those great leaders, top influencers, and the very profitable and high-earning salespeople, this is how they live their lives and conduct their business. They've learned to move from an I focus or me focus to an other focus, always looking for ways to provide value to the marketplace.
Is that more of a team approach? Is it defining team as more than yourself, looking at benefiting obviously more than yourself and the team at work. But it seems as though, if I hear you correctly, it seems as though you are paying it forward. You are providing the value, and that begets goodwill, and therefore more good things by way of more customers, more sales, better relationships are likely to come your way. Is that do I have it right?
Well, I would look at paying it forward as more after you've received something from someone, then you pay it forward to someone else. This is really simply having a mindset of giving value. Now, it could be if you're an employee, you're giving value to your employer, which is, of course, giving value to the end user, the customer. That's how the company stays in business. That's how you maintain a salary, and that's how, everyone lives happily ever after. If you're a business person yourself or a salesperson, you've got to be focusing on providing value to someone else. Let's put it this way. Money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, if you want to put it poetically. And it simply means that the giving of value, the value comes first, and the money you receive is simply a very natural and very direct result of the value you've provided.
So that doesn't seem that it only applies to business or to sales, as it were. If I provide value to my personal relationship, to my husband, wife, child, whomever, family in general, by that way of thinking, I expect to receive equal or better value in return.
In the story, in The Go-Giver, because it's a parable, it's a short fictional story, there's even one part where Joe, the protagonist and the protege, has a situation with his wife in which really they've been very 50-50 about things. But what Joe learns is that 50-50, whether it's a business relationship or a personal relationship, is really a losing percentage, because what that really means is, you've always got your mind on not being taken advantage of not giving more than what you're getting. And what happened, Pindar, the main mentor, tells Joe a story about his own life and about his own marriage, and he says to Joe that, he is actually, that a great relationship, again, whether business or personal, isn't 50-50, but simply 100, where your focus is on the other person. It's even placing their interests first, if you will. And what Pindar says is, he's been married to his wife for 50 years, and all he's wanted to do is make her happy. And Joe says, well, isn't that kind of being codependent? And, in today's politically correct world, we've always got to be careful of communicating that type of thing. And so Pindar said, well, what I call it is happy. And he said, the thing is, Joe, he said, by focusing on making her happy, of course she has wanted to do the same for me. Now, the book is fictional, but that is exactly what my dad told me when I was about 10 years old. I asked my dad, my folks have been married now 56 years, and they just, they adore each other. They're best friends, and they're more in love today than they were, when I was younger. And I remember when I was about 10 years old, some of my friends' parents were getting divorced, and I asked Dad, what is it about you and Mom that has you together and happy and so forth, with so many of my friends, their parents are getting divorced. And he said, Bob, he said, when you really, really love someone, you actually care more about their happiness than you do your own. And again, there's nothing codependent about that. We're not talking about a relationship in which someone's, taking advantage of the other or abusive or this and that. No, we're talking about a healthy relationship. And I know both of my parents feel that same way about each other. Well, in business, obviously, we don't love our prospect, our customer, our networking partners like we love our family. Of course not. But we still can carry that same attitude with us. We can still look for for ways genuinely and authentically to make our wins about their wins, you know, to focus on making their life better, richer, happier, more fulfilling, or whatever type of value we can bring to the equation.
Exactly. And it's all about the liking someone and trusting someone, and if that, when that's the case, then you're drawn to that person, whether you're a customer or
right,
or a business relationship of some sort or another. For the benefit of our listeners, I would ask you to go to Bob's website, and his website address is burg.com. Top right corner of the home page, he has this quote with which I could not agree more. It says, "All things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust." And that to me is one of the most commonsensical things ever, because and it's proven by the, you know, time-tested 80-20 rule that all of us know in business, that 80% of your business comes from 20% of your customers.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen by accident. And it isn't because it's some algebraic equation that, you know, if you load the 20%, 80% will come out of it in business. That means that you actually load that 20% or whatever the percentage is with care, with building the relationship, with showing trust and receiving trust, and therefore that perpetuates more business. And for those of us in business, know that repeat business that come from the same customer, are by far and away the most profitable business, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel
right
from scratch. So how does one shift the focus from getting to giving?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is just understand why it works, because if they don't feel that way, they're not going to do it. It would be the person who has worked a different way than that and maybe feels that, I've had some success, but I kind of feel a little bit like maybe there's something more, and maybe I'm not doing things in the most productive way. And that was really Joe, the protagonist in the book. He had some relative success. He was young, ambitious, aggressive. He was a, you know, good kid, a good, well-meaning young man. But he also was frustrated because he knew that it just wasn't happening as fast as he wanted. And Joe was very much the opposite of a go-giver. He was a go-taker. What's funny is people think, well, the opposite of a go-giver is a go-getter. No, go-getter is great. We love go-getters. Go-getters get things done. They take action, and that's so important. You know, you're a very successful business person, Chris, and you know, and your listeners know, and we all know that you can have the best thoughts, the best ideas, the best intention, but unless action's put into the mix, nothing's going to happen. So we love go-getters. The opposite of a go-getter, though, go-giver, is a go-taker. That's that person so focused on themselves that really they don't create those great relationships. So the first part is understanding that that isn't working for you.
That is a phenomenally important point. The go-getter is, rather, the go-taker is not a person rich in culture, in feelings, or in anything else, because in my mind, that person is a miser, because they have defined the outer limits of where it is that they can succeed. And by taking that, it means that there is no more to take. They have kind of defined their pie, if mm-hmm. you will.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. Yes, they don't create bigger pies with people. They feel that if they want a bigger piece of pie, they've got to take some of yours. And what that does is that creates a very limited mindset. So they tend to not be very financially successful either. And even those times where they do obtain some modicum of financial success, it tends to not last very long because they haven't built it on a solid foundation.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of a short break. My guest is Bob Burg. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Bob Berg. Please visit his website at berg.com. Again, that's spelled B-U-R-G.com. And follow him on Twitter at Bob Berg. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisepicu.com, or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com, where you'll also find the recently released second edition of my book, CDO Chief Daddy Officer. My Facebook page is Chris Epicu, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. So, don't be a go-taker, Bob was telling us, because a go-taker is the opposite of the go-giver, and it is not the go-getter. Go-getter is a good thing. Go-taker is that self-limiting thing that you're happy kind of having the whole pie almost short-mindedly, regardless of how large or small the pie is. So let's talk to me more about that. We understand that not being a taker is the right thing to do, but do we really understand it? Because the way to understand it will be to contrast it against giving.
Yeah, well, you know, while giving and receiving are two sides of the very same coin, one of the five laws is the law of receptivity. That's very important. We believe in giving and receiving. Again, giving value, receiving value. It's where the focus is. And a go-taker tends to be focused on themselves. Now, you know, the interesting thing, Chris, is that there's always... when we say, you know, about someone being, let's say, self-centered, that's very natural. And so it's not that that's an abhorrent thing by any means. We, as human beings, we are self-centered. We are focused on ourselves. That's how our body fights off disease. That's how we procreate. That's how we invent things that help us as well as others. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. What the pro does is they suspend their self-interest, and that's really the difference. It's not that we can't be self-interested. We're human beings. We are self-interested. But what the pro does, what the go-giver does, if you will, is they willingly suspend their self-interest. You don't have to forego your self-interest. You suspend your self-interest and authentically look at ways you can provide value to the marketplace. Now, if someone just doesn't feel comfortable with that and they almost need a rationalization, if you will, to do that, then what I would say is you can help yourself get into that frame by saying the most self-interested thing you can do is to suspend your self-interest and focus on bringing value to others. Why? Because, again, going back to a free market-based economy, and although we're really not free market-based, we are to the point enough still that the model still holds, the model still works. Again, a free market would be where somebody doesn't have to buy from you. So any exchange is always willingly between two or more parties where each wants what the other one has. In other words, if you are the salesperson, they want your product or service, the benefits of your product or service, and you want the money in exchange for that product or service. To make that happen, you can't be self-interested. Because if you are, that's going to come through. If that person can tell, and they always can, that you're looking at them simply as a sale, that you're looking at them as a commission check, if you're looking at them as, you know, as something you're going to add to your bank account, they're not interested in that. On the other hand, if they can tell, and again, they always can, whether consciously or unconsciously, that your focus is laser, it's unabashedly, it's unabridgedly focused on bringing value to them with a concern for their wants, their needs, their desires, again, their interests, they're going to be much more likely to feel good about you. They're going to know you, like you, trust you, respect you, and it's going to be more likely that the exchange will take place. So, again, the most self-interested thing you can do is to suspend your self-interest and focus on pleasing another human being. That's the only way you can prosper in a free market.
That's a very wise thing to keep in mind. I want to get into the five laws of stratospheric success, but before that, let me take a question from one of our listeners. This comes from Kate from Charleston, South Carolina, one of my favorite places.
I love Charleston, South Carolina.
Isn't it, though?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, Bob, how did you come up with the name GoGiver? And then the second part of the question is, when hiring staff, what are the signs of a GoGiver versus the signs of a GoTaker?
Okay, well, Kate, those are great questions. And John David Mann, my excellent co-author, and I came up with the name the GoGiver just because we felt that was a good way of positioning the story. It was congruent with the story, and we felt it was counterintuitive sounding enough that sort of like the headline of a sales letter, it was going to draw people to it. You know, people say, well, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you know what? That's exactly how people judge a book. So we wanted a title that really, sent a message that said that was sort of a pattern interrupt, and people would stop and say, what do they mean? What's a go-giver? And of course, the message needed to be congruent with that, which we believe it is. So that's how we came up with the title. In terms of hiring someone, that's certainly not my area of expertise in terms of being able to say, this is how you know they are a go-giver or a go-taker, because sometimes you find out when it's too late, and so that's not a good thing to do. There are tests, though. There are people who specialize in those kinds of personality tests and those types of things. There's people we used to contract a woman named Judy Piani from Boston who does handwriting analysis, and that is, it's not hocus pocus. It is just a phenomenal way of being able to tell certain people's traits and their tendencies and so forth. So there's lots of professionals in that area that specialize in that. And again, it's a great question by Kate, because boy, is it just so much better to know before it happens, what you've got your hands on than afterwards. I've always been lucky. Anybody on my team, I can count on one hand the number of people I've had that I would say were go-takers, and they were very destructive. They could even be, sort of nice people in on a certain level, but because of their attitude, because of their attitude, they were destructive. And so I've personally been very, very fortunate. But yeah, I would make sure that you contract with a professional who focuses on that very area of being able to give you a heads up regarding people's tendencies.
It is true. Nothing can be more destructive than a hire that has gone bad early on or started out bad, but fooled the interviewers in the interviewing process. And we all know that that happens.
Absolutely.
You can't be in business long enough and not come across one of those people. As you say, exercising due diligence and all of that goes a long way.
Right.
Let's talk about the five laws of stratospheric success. What's law number one?
Well, law number one is the law of value, and this is sort of the foundational law, if you will. And the law of value says that your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, this sounds a bit counterintuitive, certainly. It sounds really counterproductive. How do you give more in value than you take in payment and stay in business? It sounds like a recipe for bankruptcy when you first hear it. We simply, for this, need to understand the difference between price and value. The two concepts are very different. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It simply is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, this service, this concept, this idea that brings with it so much worth, so much value that someone will, again, willingly exchange their money for it and feel great about it while you make a very healthy profit? As an example, let's say, Chris, you were to hire an accountant, and this accountant charges you, we'll just name a round figure, $1,000 to do your returns. Now, that's $1,000 is his fee, or literally his price. But what value does he give you in exchange that makes this good for both of you? Well, first, he saves you $5,000. He saves you countless hours of time that frees you up to do what you want to do and what you're good at, and he provides you with the security and peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. So we see that value can be both concrete and conceptual. He gave you well over $5,000 in total use value in exchange for $1,000 price or cash value. So he gave you more in value than he took in payment. You feel great about it, and he also made a very, very healthy profit, which he should. And that's really the kind of relationship we want to have with anyone with whom we do business, including our employer, if we're employed by someone else, because we are selling them our services. We need to give them more in use value than what we take in payment. That's why they will keep you on the job, and it doesn't matter what the economic conditions are. If they're receiving sufficient value from you, you've always got a job. So really, that's what the value is. It says it should be both parties coming away from the transaction or relationship better off than they were before it.
So value versus price.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the next law of stratospheric success?
It's the law of compensation. And this one says that your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two says tells us that the more people whose lives we add this kind of exceptional value to, the more money with which we'll be rewarded. And this is the accountant who did a great job of giving you more in value than you take in payment. If you're his client, you feel great about him, you do business with him again, and most likely refer him to many others. And so our accountant is very quickly, because his other clients feel the same way, he's very quickly amassing what we call an army of personal walking ambassadors. And as he continues to add this kind of exceptional value to the lives of more and more people, his income will grow and grow. One of the mentors in the story, Nicole Martin, who we call the CEO, she explained to Joe, the protege, that law number one, the law of value, that represents your potential income. But it's law number two, which represents your actual income, because it's not just a matter of providing great value. It's also a matter of impact, how many lives you're able to touch.
That's an absolutely terrific concept. Let's talk more about that and the other three remaining laws of stratospheric success on the other side of a short break. My guest is Bob Berg, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris FSCU. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Opinion. Hear me. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris FSCU understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris FSCU. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris FSCU with my guest, Bob Berg. Please visit his website, berg.com, and follow him on Twitter, at Bob Berg. We were talking about the first two of five rules of stratospheric success. First rule being value and how that differs from price. And the second is compensation, meaning the actual income and the importance of that. Tell us about the third one, Bob.
Well, law number three is the law of influence. And this one says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. And we alluded to this one earlier, that it sounds counterproductive at best and perhaps even downright Pollyanna-ish at worst. But really, this is how, the great leaders, top influencers, the highest producing, money-earning salespeople, this is how they live their lives. This is how they conduct their business. They're constantly looking for ways to place other people's interests first, creating value for others. In the story, and by the way, as a disclaimer, when we say place other people's interests first, we certainly don't mean to be that you should ever be anybody's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way, shape, or form. Certainly not. It's just that as Ernesto and Sam, two of the mentors in the story, told Joe, the protege, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward you in others than by, again, as we talked about earlier, suspending your self-interest. You know, it's interesting. Adam Grant recently came out with a book called Give and Take, and he cited a study of Australian financial advisors. So these are stockbrokers, financial planners, financial advisors. They are in the business of selling financial advice. And the survey or the research was done to determine what was the determining factor that made the top producers, the top money earners. And of course, they looked at things such as financial expertise, which is very important, obviously, in that field, ability to Again, very, very important in that field. But neither of those two, as important as they were, neither of those two were the determining factor. The determining factor was that the highly successful top money earning financial advisors placed the interests of their clients ahead of themselves and ahead of their companies. And as a result of that, that laser focus on bringing value to their clients, they ended up bringing lots of value to themselves.
That it again, it's commonsensical, but
yes,
you know, common sense is not that common. So
sometimes it's not.
Yeah, and we seem to overlook it. Mm-hmm. So we have value, we have compensation, we have influence. Where do we go next?
Law number four is the law of authenticity. And this one says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. In the story, Deborah Davenport, one of the mentors, shared that she learned a very, very important lesson early in her career, and that is that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and again, not to diminish them, they're very, very important. They're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. Now, when you do, when you, as I like to say, show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, well, you know, people feel good about you. They feel comfortable with you. They like you. They trust you. They respect you. And we live in an inconsistent world. So when people are consistent in the way they are, that makes people feel comfortable with them. I think Gandhi really said it best when he defined integrity as when everything you think and everything you feel and everything you say and everything you do are in alignment. And I believe this type of congruence really has power to it. People are attracted to that. And it might bring up the question, well, why would someone then not be authentic? Why would they not show up as authentic if that's so powerful, if it works so well? And I think one reason, Chris, is just that many people don't have the self-confidence to show up authentically. They don't recognize the value they bring to the table. And how can you show up as authentic if you don't feel that you are enough as someone being authentic? And that's why in the story, Deborah said that. You are enough. Now, there's, you know, I believe everybody has two types of value. There's intrinsic value just by being born, but there's also market value. And this market value I would define as those unique strengths, talents, character traits, characteristics that you do bring to the market that from which you would benefit financially. And we all have these. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. What happens, though, is because as humans, we are emotional beings. We are very tied up in ourselves, so to speak, and sometimes we don't see the forest for the trees, and it's hard for us to really recognize and embrace that value we provide. So it's very important for people to either get with a mentor or a coach or just do a lot of self-study or what have you, but it's very important to recognize your strengths and know how they apply to your market.
And of course, the market can be loosely defined, as I said before, as anybody.
Come
to interaction with
your market. Absolutely, that's your spouse and kids and friends.
Exactly.
And employer and employees and prospects and clients. Absolutely.
Being authentic and being yourself, and as Gandhi said, having most everything in alignment is the way to go, something to aspire to. Mm-hmm. So we've got value, compensation, influence, authenticity. Give us the last one.
Yeah, the last one's the law of receptivity. And this one says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And this is really nothing more than understanding that not only do we need to breathe out, we also need to breathe in. And I think so many people, because of the way society is and the messages of lack and limitation that we receive, and this could be for many people a combination of everything from upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, movies. There are so many messages of lack that, and so many, you know, negative messages about money and so forth, that people often believe that giving and receiving are two totally separate and, let's say, opposite concepts, but they're really not. When you think of it, they're simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work best in tandem. To focus on just one side of the equation and try to minimize the other, when you think of it, logically, it's really an exercise in futility, because every giving is made possible only because it's also a receiving. Every receiving is made possible only because it's also a giving. So the key is not whether you're a giver or a receiver. We should be both, givers and receivers. The key goes back to focus. When you focus on the giving, again, the giving of value to others, now you've started the process to be able to receive, but you've still got to allow yourself to do that.
It makes infinite sense. Let's take another question from one of our listeners. This one comes from Jane in Houston. It says, Bob, your laws of stratospheric success sound very similar to the laws of attraction in the book The Secret. I'm not familiar with that book. If you had to choose one of the five stratospheric laws to live by, which one would it be and why?
Jane, it's a great question. Houston's another one of my favorite cities. It's a wonderful place. They always make you feel right at home there. And she was referring to a book called The Secret, which was also a movie, which talks about the law of attraction. And, I think with any sort of success principle, there's some overriding principles, because there's certainly nothing particularly new, I don't believe, in our book. We actually wrote that bit before The Secret came out. A lot of people have said there are parts in there that remind them of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich and the Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, written in 1910. So I think there's a lot of things in there which I'm happy with, because she's talking about some great books. As far as there being one, I don't think we can really look at just one as being more important than the others. There's some we might relate to more than the others, but you've got to give more in value than you take in payment, or people aren't going to want to do business with you. So, I mean, again, we're talking about in a mainly free market-based society, so you certainly can't do without that one. You have to touch the lives of a lot of people in order to bring in a healthy income, so you really can't do away with that one. In terms of influence, placing other people's interests first, again, if you don't do that, it doesn't matter who you are. No one is so wealthy or so powerful that their business will survive if they're not placing other people's interests first. Again, it has nothing to do with being nice or anything like that. The market, if they don't have to buy, in other words, if it has nothing to do with corporatism or cronyism where people are forced to buy even if they don't want to, if that's not the case, if it's market-based, everyone has to place the consumer's interests first. It's always about the consumer. In terms of authenticity, you can't diminish that one, because where would you be without it? You could be living a lie, and you're probably not going to be as effective. And if you don't receive, it's all for naught. So I love your question. I'm not sure there's any one of them that you can do away with and be as successful as you could be.
Yeah, it's a package. It's a package. Mm-hmm. I think some people may identify with one or two.
Yes.
More than others.
Exactly.
I would assume that somebody may say, I'll choose being authentic because, after all, that's who I am. I got to be myself, so on and so forth. But it doesn't stand in isolation. It's a part of one. It's one of the five laws to stratospheric success, and those are, again, value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. We'll talk more with Bob Berg in the other side of the break. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Bob Berg. Visit his website at berg.com and follow him on Twitter at Bob Berg. Now, there are some people that will say, well, I'm not a natural salesperson, and you know, I don't know how to do that. I'm not trained in it. Then there are others who live and die by being a salesperson, too. One side, I would say, there is no such thing as a person who is not a salesperson, and here's why. If you have children and you try to convince your child to do something, say, keep a curfew at a certain time or go to bed at a certain time, they obviously did not want to do that, so you had to convince them. So that's sales. It's overturning a negative. If when you were a child and you dealt with your parents or your spouse, and clearly you have certain elements that you have opposing opinions, one tries to convince the other, bring him to a happy medium, that's selling. So some people are you know, there's some righteousness about sales, and then there is some I guess some people would say, well, you know, sales is not for me. I don't do that, haven't done it, can't do it.
Well, it's more the understanding, I think, of what sales is and what it isn't, because it's always so important to define our terms, because if we, Ayn Rand had said that with an incorrect premise, you simply cannot ever come to a correct conclusion. So when people ask me about sales, or when they say I could never sell, the first thing I always ask them is, well, how do you define selling? And that's always key, because their answer is going to tell me a lot about their thoughts on sales and so forth. For example, many people, Chris, they think selling is trying to talk somebody into buying something that they don't want or need, when really selling is just the opposite. It's finding out what someone does want or need and helping them to get it. Some people think selling is about taking advantage of others. Just the opposite. It's about bringing people more advantage through your product or service. Perhaps the biggest upside-down misperception about selling is that at its heart, it's about taking, but it's not. Selling at its essence, at its utmost, at its most profitable, is all about giving, and I mean that literally. Now, someone might say, no, no, you mean that figuratively. No, I mean it literally, because the Old English root of the word sell is selan, which literally meant to give. So when you're selling, you're giving. Now, one might say, well, isn't that just semantics? And I would say, I'm not sure about that. Let's take a look. When you're in the selling process, and again, whether it's with your child or a friend or, in this case, let's say selling a product or service and you're about to give a presentation, when you're selling, what are you giving? I suggest you're giving time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and most of all, you're giving value. So if you are in the profession of selling, you are in a very righteous profession. So, you know, and should be proud of it, because it's what moves the economy. It's what helps put products and services into the marketplace that people otherwise wouldn't know about.
That's very true. We have all heard it. You know, nothing ever happens until somebody sells something, and that may just go to more on the bottom line. But it, as you said before, when you're selling something, whatever it is that you're selling, is giving someone something they presumably need.
Yes, and if not, that's not selling. It's being a con artist.
That's exactly the point I was trying to get to, because there is no such thing as somebody buying something they don't need.
Right, right. Not on purpose. They won't purposely. Nobody is going to purposely buy something that they don't feel is more advantageous to them than the money they're exchanging for it.
Correct. And that kind of flies in the face of the reverse, which is when you're negotiating a sale with someone, they're telling you, well, you know, I'm going to give you this item, whatever it is, you know, a used car or whatever, you name it. I'm not making any money of it. In fact, I'm losing money. Why would somebody, quote unquote, sell something losing money? They may not necessarily be making money, but if that is taking a non-performing asset off their hands, that's a gain to them. Therefore, it provides value.
Right. Nobody is going to do something. A person's not going to sell something, and they're not going to buy something that they don't profit, that knowingly, that they don't profit as a result. Now, you might say, well, what about a lost leader? You know, you sell something, a lobster for a dollar in order to get people into the restaurant because blah, 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 you know, and so forth. Okay, that's fine. But again, they're not doing it to be self-sacrificial. They're doing it because they believe it's the correct move in order to cause a profit later on. So people, you know, who are of free will in a free market, are both people have to profit from the exchange. Nobody is going to willingly do something that causes harm to themselves, nor should they.
Exactly. It's the win-win scenario. We've talked about an awful lot of good things, and I have gotten a number of different emails that we don't have time to go through, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase a couple of emails and ask you this. If you were to give our listeners your guidance of how to improve themselves as salespeople and or as people who are trying to sell a concept to themselves or someone else, what would your 30-second pitch to them be?
I think, if I'm understanding this correctly, I think the key is to learn from someone who has already done what it is you want to do. Don't try and reinvent a wheel that's already been invented, but instead seek out and find the information, whether through books, CDs, mentorship, you know, however you do it, and learn from that person.
That's very well said, and we are going to leave it at that, because we're certainly almost out of time. Bob, I thank you so much for your time. It's been a joy to have you on the program, and I hope that we can circle back at some future point.
Chris, I hope so. It's been my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Next week, we'll talk with Maima Karmo on Fearless, Using Challenges as Opportunities. So do join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.